Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
We're like really sorry because they were playing some really good tunes on the radio this morning. We just were so riveted we couldn't break away. It was like, you know when you get paralyzed and you can't? No. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley and Mexicali Valley and Yuma Valley and McCain Valley and San Luis Valley. There's another valley around there somewhere. The land of the valleys. And welcome to the show. I'm not Maria. My name is Scott. And I'm your host today. Maria is up in Pomona doing some sort of management enlightenment class, which is cool. Certainly. Hope she's having fun out there. We have a guest. Indeed we do. Name is Tom Armenta. And our phone number is 760-327-8874. So you can call Tom now, not even knowing what he does, and say, hey, Tom, what's up? What do you do? And we could just kick it off that way. Or, yeah, I suppose I could tell you. Okay, Tom works at the Day Out program, and we're going to spend the next hour or so talking about the Day Out program and all of the things it has to offer and all of the who ends up there, I suppose. And, again, encourage you with the question, 760-337-8874. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, but my name really isn't Tom.
Stop.
I'm in the Witness Protection Program, so that's the name of the game.
Stop. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot it already.
Don't worry, it's not the real name.
And you're a social worker, which means you're like good at making up stuff like witness protection names on the spur of the moment.
No, it's true.
So tell us about Day Out, Mr. Witness Protection Program person.
Okay. It's an adult daycare program. It's set up not just for seniors, but it's set up for people who are disabled. They provide physical therapy maintenance and occupational therapy maintenance. We have a registered nurse on hand who also assists them with their blood pressure, check their sugars. Need a social worker who will assist them. If they have any kind of needs, difficulties with financial difficulties, also deal with their stressors. Try to assist them in actually empowering themselves to handle different situations.
So let's kind of dial that back and okay. Start at the beginning. So it's not just for seniors, for geriatric elders, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
But elders constitute like half of this, or how many?
Well, more likely like 75%.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
But you do have situations with younger people who get a CVA, you know, a stroke, and will provide, especially that first year.
Was it a CVA?
Cerebrovascular. What ends up happening with the strokes at that young age, they get physical therapy, occupational therapy assistance, that you can actually get the improvement a lot more rapidly that first year.
Retrain a different part of the brain to exactly. Handle the function.
Mm-hmm.
If you jump in right away and do it right.
Jump in right away.
Interesting.
And then we also have a lot of young people who we have like around a good half dozen young people who it becomes part of their social activity and the interaction. You would think that there'd be a difficulty with the age gap, but after a while, you start to see that there's a bond that develops with all of you, the participants.
Hmm. Yeah, I would just kind of reflecting that it would seem like that would be a pretty compelling bond, I guess, because people with in Day Out are in common cognitive functioning. Is that pretty much the criteria for getting in, or is there another level of that?
Well, in terms of getting in, usually you have one or two chronic illnesses that you're having to deal with. A lot of times you get a lot of patients with diabetes.
Okay.
Also, the high blood pressure, osteoarthritis, osteoporosis, and that usually will qualify you for the program.
Okay, so those people may have excellent cognitive function.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, physically they had some difficulties, but mentally they're very alert.
Okay. And so they come in and that would be, that's your geriatric crowd then, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So blood pressure, diabetes, osteoporosis, other types of flavors?
Oh, also cerebral palsy.
Mm.
We have like several participants who have cerebral palsy who also live independently and are able to maintain an independent lifestyle.
How about like deafness and muteness?
Right now, currently, we don't have anybody with who's deaf or who's mute, and it would provide something interesting. You have people who are older who have a little bit of difficulty with their hearing.
Mm.
And yeah, but
right, I'm sorry.
You have to be careful too, because you don't want to confuse it with dementia. A lot of times somebody actually is very aware and you can still communicate by writing.
And it seems like they may have dementia, but they really just aren't hearing you.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes they're so polite they're just saying yes to everything. And then you start to realize that they really can't hear you. And you can still, you know, communicate with them. You just make it a point of, you've learned to read lips. And you can write things down. And actually when I do the mini mentals, that's when I had started to notice that some of them, they had been listening to that. I thought to myself, well, that's kind of weird because, when I was doing it, all I had to do was I realized that he was just being very polite with me. And then I just started writing the things down. And he was scoring very well on the mini mental, and it was like, oh, okay, wait a minute.
So you do the initial intake?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. What kind of stuff do you ask?
You get a biopsychosocial assessment. So you try to get their whole environment, their support system, and their history. And
you're hoping family members bring people in because some people may have real difficulties communicating this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then also just to get some kind of idea of what kind of support they have at home, because you'll still do the home visits whenever it's necessary. So if you find a situation where you can see some concern for the participant, you'll do a home visit to see if everything's okay. Especially if you've had several participants that are through public administration.
Yeah.
And so you just want to assist them following up, and you can see there's a need for an APS report.
Okay. So if they start bailing on your program or something, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the day out program is basically for adults who, by reason of medical conditions, wouldn't typically be able to go out. I mean, basically, that's the bottom
mm-hmm.
line is
mm-hmm.
most of these people wouldn't be walking around the mall or whatever. So they're limited in terms of their pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
That must have, I'm thinking that probably has a pretty big impact on the quality of their lives.
Yes, and then also the key thing also is that with day out, you're trying to assist them in empowering themselves in terms of understanding their own illness. So with day out, what you want to do is to make sure that they're compliant with whatever care plan the doctor has for them, and then the treatment plan that's set up by the physical therapist and occupational therapist, myself and the nurse, because a lot of times they're referred to the program because they're being non-compliant with their meds, and then the doctor has a concern that maybe with the monitoring of a nurse that they would actually, especially with diabetics.
Wait. So this isn't fun. This is like some additional control factor in people's lives.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course. When it comes to a nurse, in other words, at least educating them.
We're going to refer you to a brand new program. It's called Day Out. Yeah. You're going to have a great time there.
Uh-huh.
Take your meds.
Huh. Well, they don't have to take their meds, but at least they can at least offer them some kind of education in regards.
Mm, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. So you can kind of sit down with them and weigh the pros and the cons of.
Uh-huh.
The choices that they're making.
Mm-hmm. Especially with diabetes, too. That's an illness that people like to be in denial about.
curiously, diabetes and alcohol and drug treatment have a lot of parallels, and that is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old on the wagon, off the wagon.
Exactly. And I'm speaking, personally, too, because it was like I was told I was a borderline diabetic. And then a nurse friend of mine actually, you know, and lied to me on it and told me, you're not really a borderline diabetic.
You realize way over the border.
No, better than that. You're a diabetic in denial.
There you go. And you know, that's what they mean by borderline. Borderline accepted it.
Yeah, exactly. And so you know, once I actually came to terms with it, you know.
What's the Krispy Kreme doing in your hand right now?
Oh, okay. That's not really mine. That was, you guys keep me that. That is coffee.
Nice.
So I think I said so. And so I can totally understand where a lot of them come from, where they had a difficult time with it, too.
So then that gives you, like, empathy into what they're kind of going through, too.
Oh, yes.
Well, and typically, you know, just a little sidetrack into diabetes, our taste buds and our brains developed in caveman times where there weren't very many sweet foods. And so we got these sweet receptors that said, hey, this is a good source of calories, you starving to death caveman person. And the problem is now we're surrounded by sweet things.
Oh, you saw food ink also, huh?
No, I kind of had to, you know, battle my own weight problems. Okay. So I kind of had to thought about this a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so you've got this system that's designed to detect and love sweets.
Uh-huh.
And you're in a world surrounded by sweets.
Mm-hmm.
And so many sweets that you can throw your endocrinal system out of whack completely. And how do you manage that?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Because, you know, whatever you eat, even if you eat meats, they're going to make them sweet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I go on low-carb diets and crash into, like, barbecue sauce and teriyaki sauce, and, you know, all the little things with sugar in them, all over the place.
So I know it's very difficult. Sometimes it's just strictly salads, especially when you want to control it.
With non-sweet dressing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Vinaigrette.
Yeah. Nice. Now, so you've got people with pretty severe diabetes. What kind of consequences typically are they experiencing by the time they get to a program like this?
A lot of them, it's just a matter that they had their sugar up for over like the 300 range for a while, and then a lot of times the doctor will actually send a home health agency, you know, help them find it, kind of manage their medications, you know, educate them on how to take the meds. So by the time we get them into the program, which is primarily like maintenance, making sure that
they're stabilized.
They stabilize. And the doctors give a parameter of, like, if it's this high or it falls this low, you need to contact me. And same thing with the blood pressure. And then from there, you know, they just keep track of it on a daily basis whenever they do come to the program.
Nice. So you guys have everybody, you have your registered nurse on site who can check things like that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What about it's 8:05.
Mm-hmm.
We're here today with Tom Armenta. He's a social worker for the Day Out program. Our phone number is 337-8874. Don't forget to dial 760 or the lady will yell at you on the phone. And this is KUBO, 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingual, serving the Mexicali and Imperial Valleys and maybe some other valleys.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue.
Welcome aboard, and like I said, we're here with Tom. We're talking about the Day Out program, which is already expanded my scope of what I thought the Day Out program was. And we can talk about, you know, talking to some of the geriatric people who might come, and we'll talk about others who may come, and what they do there, and why it's important. And Tom, do you get a sense in working, how long have you worked there?
I've been working there off and on since 2005.
Oh, okay. So 5-year anniversary coming up. Do you get a sense that Day Out may be underutilized, that there may be people out in the greater environment that may have needs that Day Out could assist with, and they're just not referred or not noticed or something?
You can see that there's areas that are untapped, especially when you talk about, like, I'm at the Day Out in Brawley, like when reaching out more towards, like, Nyland, Calipat, Westmoreland, that area.
Mm-hmm. So some of the stuff is regional logistical stuff, like transportation and things. Who pays for Day Out?
It's done through Medi-Cal.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then we also have a private pay. So some participants come in through private pay.
And how much do you charge? How much a day?
$76.27.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's a 3-hour day or 6-hour day? Or?
4-hour day.
Okay, okay.
Uh-huh. And then some participants will stay up to like 6 hours depending on if they, because they also have activities. So sometimes after lunch, a lot of them will get into either playing cards or just conversing. And this becomes like a social center for them after lunch where they just interact.
And those are kind of like on structured types of activities?
Yes, afterwards. Uh-huh.
Do their people come and pick them up or you guys drive them around?
Both. Both. And then we also have ARC and Dollar Ride for transportation.
Hmm. Good. All right, so let's kind of go back. How might you deal with something with osteoporosis?
Usually we have the key person there would be the physical therapist. Mm-hmm. And the occupational therapist would be the one, and they would do the treatment plan for them. And then we have physical therapy assistants who would follow the treatment plan, log everything in that they did with the participant and as part of the treatment plan, and have it signed off by the nurse.
Okay. And you were mentioning earlier the younger stroke, but there's some older stroke victims too, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing where it's physical therapy and trying to recover as much function as you can get.
And then also with them, if you want to do some type of intervention where you're trying to make them feel comfortable, and because a lot of times they have a difficulty with the speech because of the stroke, so you still try to develop some line of communication with them where they feel comfortable speaking with you. And encouraging them to develop lines of communication with their peers.
Oh, because if they don't try to communicate, then first of all, they wouldn't learn alternative ways of communicating besides verbally. But secondly, mm-hmm. they may get some verbal stuff back if they keep pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Well, the thing is also that you're just concerned that they don't isolate themselves,
to begin to waste away or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then with a lot of participants who've come to the program, there's actually a sense of normalcy whenever they do come because they realize they're not the only one out there who's been going through this. There's other people who are going through the same type of struggle.
Yeah, I think that would be the bond that develops is all of these people have pretty pervasive health situations
mm-hmm.
that cut them off. I mean, kind of it's like a barrier between them and the people who don't have major health problems because, you know, people without major health problems typically don't understand.
Yeah, you're right.
Or don't have time to walk really, really slowly because the person has a stroke or osteoporosis, or don't understand why Krispy Kreme donuts would be such a big deal for people with severe diabetes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get this common ground stuff. Do people kind of group up by their problem? So, you know, stroke people all hang out with the stroke people, and the diabetics all hang out with the diabetic.
Well, like high school?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you do get clicks. So you do get clicks, and people after a while kind of coordinate that the day they're going to attend it with the people they're more comfortable with.
Okay. Typically, do people come in every day, or is it just...
Usually, the majority of participants are 3-day participants, and we have some that come 5 days a week. And like you're saying about like developing the bonds, usually what happens also is that when somebody does get a cold, the whole little group gets a cold together.
Oh, how sweet.
So they'll be gone for a couple of days at the same time.
Sounds like you guys are ready to do like your germ lesson, huh?
Uh-huh.
So aside from the medical care and the medical monitoring mm-hmm. with the nurse, do you do other types of educational activities in groups or what? How does that 3-4-hour day go?
Also, we have an activities director. And so he provides different activities for the participants. They have the bingo game, no real money, and as I know. And like I said, he'll have card games. They also have the game of Wii that they play. And then at the same time, when they first get in there, like right now, they would be providing them with
Wii, like the video game Wii?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, it's like Wii, so, like Wii going down the roller coaster.
Uh-huh. So a lot of them use it as part of the coordination. So they'll play the Wii, and then also what they're doing is when they first get there right now, because they get there, they'll get their breakfast, something to drink, usually coffee with Splenda or Equal, And then as they're doing that, they'll start some activities. And as they're doing the activities, the physical therapy assistants are taking the participants.
Pulling them out one by one.
One by one.
Your med check stuff.
Well, also first to do the physical therapy.
Oh, okay.
And then also they check the blood pressure, and then, you know, the nurse will check the ones that she has to check their blood sugars. And then as they're doing that, they go back to their seat. And the whole process goes all the way to like 11:30. So by 11:30 is when they get they receive the lunch from the team nutrition center.
Oh, nice. Nice. So you guys have hooked up with various providers to help support
the needs. And also with the Alzheimer's Association. And Alzheimer's Association will come down with us, like, come down and do support groups once a month.
Do you have any Alzheimer's patients?
Yes. So we have several. And a lot of the participants their families, the ones that are Alzheimer's patients, we have contact with them in terms of different resources that are available. So we encourage them to come with a support group, with Alzheimer's Association. At the same time, you know, we pretty much provide them with a status of how they are interacting, how they're not really progressing, but at least if we're maintaining them at the program.
Do you have other types of basically traumatic brain injury types of this stuff? I mean, you know, kids driving around.
Oh, yes, uh-huh. Some of the people, some of the younger participants that are there.
Not just stroke stuff, but it's any type of major...
Yeah, accident. And a lot of times you'll notice also that that physically they may be disabled, but mentally they're still very alert, and it's almost like they're trapped by the body. So you really have to be aware of the fact that they still have that need to communicate.
Yeah,
and you have to be open to that they're going to try to communicate with you. A lot of the frustration that they may show is by the fact that
I got something to say and I can't get it out.
Exactly.
I'm not understanding it even when I do get it out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I feel that way at home a lot. No. 337-8874 is the phone number. We're here with Tom Armenta. He's the day out social worker. Social worker. Kind of an oxymoronic term when you think about it. But and telling us and sharing with us about what happens at day out and who it happens to and why it happens and how do you manage the psychological needs of this population, because you've got people who aren't going to get better, so they've got some acceptance stuff to do. Mm-hmm. You've got people who are going to get worse and they've got some acceptance stuff to do, and at the same time you're trying to squeeze better effort out of some people, definitely, because they've got some improving they could do.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage all of that human need, I guess?
Uh-huh. We also provide counseling for them. I have counseled the participants. I work under the supervision of a MSW and also a psychologist who come in. The MSW comes in 8 hours a month, and then the psychologist comes in.
Person with a master's in social work degree.
Yes, uh-huh.
I have to be careful with acronyms.
Okay.
It goes way too fast. way too far too fast.
Okay. And so, and then if there's any kind of issues, we all with the psychologist who comes in know, and that way we can actually focus on certain participants if they're having difficulty. A lot of times, grief counseling.
Mm, yeah, well, yes, I would assume. Medication referrals if needed and stuff like that, or?
Mm-hmm. And that one is handled with a psychologist and also with a nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have certain participants who have been difficulty with their behavior and I'm dealing specifically with Alzheimer's patients? And it's,
you mean getting angry and frustrated and acting out?
Aggressive, actually.
Yeah, I was kind of heading in that direction.
Uh-huh. And then just notify the doctor, because there may be, you know, if they are receiving any meds, they may not be that effective.
So the medication and that would be kind of like keeping them safe and everybody else safe too.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, you know, think about it. It must be pretty frustrating to be in those shoes.
Exactly.
It's not like I can understand where they're coming from.
Uh-huh.
What? Share with us. Like, I don't know. I'm sure you've got some success stories. You've got some stuff that just blossomed beautifully. Give us kind of a this little baby documentary of somebody without, you know, protecting the innocent, of course.
Uh-huh.
What for you has really touched you in terms of working with someone and seeing change or even not seeing change?
Well, you know, there's one participant who I'm really impressed with because she was living in a assisted living, and she has cerebral palsy,
the place where people never come back from, huh?
Yeah, of course, supposedly. And well, she's Lazarus, and the thing about it is that what was really impressive about her is that she's an older lady and she just decided she wanted to live, you know, on her own again. And she's been able to pull it off. She's been doing this now for the last 6 months. And that's with some assistance from San Diego Regional and then also, you know, in-home support. But even with in-home support, she only has 17 hours, which tells you how she's been able to function.
A lot of stuff on her own, huh?
Yeah. And so with me, sometimes, you know, she gets kind of down and you just kind of trying to, like, pick her up, she trying to give her a different perspective.
It's hard work.
Uh-huh. But the thing is that she's open to it, and that's the key thing.
Well, yeah, she's being fueled by her desire to, you know, have this life, mm-hmm. experience it that way.
But, you know, every once in a while when it just seems that she gets a little bit overwhelmed, you know, you just have to kind of refocus her, redirect her, and remind her that, you know, that this, you know, this is going to happen and that not to feel so overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how many years in assisted living before she stepped back out on her own?
Yeah, exactly. So she had been several years, and not just that, but on top of that, she's dealing with the when she came to the program, she was dealing with the grief of the loss of her sister, and who was her primary support.
Mm.
So
and the person who understood her and, mm-hmm. you know, had developed a form of communication.
Exactly. So the days she wasn't coming to the program, she would call, you know, constantly. And I knew that was part of the process for her because she had to develop some connection, some type of support system. And she was the one who kind of took the initiative to develop it.
Yeah.
And I think that for her, I'm really impressed with what she's done.
Neat. That's a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 760-337-8874 if you've got any questions for Tom because we're heading into the home stretch here. And always nice to have questions, so give us a call. What other kind of, I mean, you've got social activities that you know, structured social activities, I guess, at the end of the program.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got people playing bridge and
developing friendships, and also they interact afterwards. After they leave the program, you have a lot of them who develop friendships. And like I said, what you find a lot, too, is a lot of times people who are kind of reluctant to come to the program, and then once they get there, they ran into friends from the old neighborhood who they hadn't seen in years, you know, who they had rumors that had passed away, and they really are.
Interesting.
And, you know, it's really fun when you get to see the reaction. They run into all these old friends, and they start catching up.
Interesting. So I'm going to end up with all of my elementary school mates in some day out program someday.
Oh, you won't. You probably won't fall off from Medi-Cal.
Good point. It may not exist by the time I get that old. Nice. What other kind of stuff? I mean, how do people get referred? Let's go there.
Okay. There's different ways of getting referred. A lot of times we get referrals like from the home health agencies. The social worker for the home health agency will go visit and see that the patient that he's seen is kind of atrophying and
failure to thrive.
Failure to thrive, and then. He sees the potential of with some type of social interaction, some just getting him out of the house or getting her out of the house. And he'll do the referral or she'll do the referral to the day out program. And then a lot of times we'll get referrals from the doctor's office if the doctor just feels that for the same reason. And we've gotten referrals from the Alzheimer's Association with some of the clients that they're seeing.
Nice. So all of the providers of care to mm-hmm. people who have this level of physical need or medical need.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eyes open for her.
And also the multi-purpose senior service program here.
Okay.
And then referrals.
Okay. Okay. And the public administrator?
Yes, the public administrator.
How big is your program? How many people come in?
We have 85 in the Bali one, and daily we're getting like between 40.
That's a party, man.
Yeah. Well, but the party goes to be 40 to 45. And then when we do have parties, we actually do get one of those musicians that can play all the instruments.
Yeah. At the same time.
And so, and it gets pretty loud.
Nice. And then more people show up.
Yeah.
So you've got 85 enrolled and about a daily attendance of 45.
Yes.
From Raleigh. You have an El Centro facility?
El Centro, I believe they have over 100 participants, and they're averaging usually like around 70. So
that's a busy place.
Yes. So I think about that. And they're growing. They keep growing. So.
How involved are you, for example? I mean, you've got an activities director. Who's the backbone? Who are the people out in the group room helping to manage and maintain the activities and make sure everybody gets their medical needs met? And who does that?
It's the director, myself, and the nurse. So we're the three who mainly try to coordinate everything in the program.
Okay. Do you have also, like, line staff workers or you know?
Yes. Uh-huh. We have a physical therapy assistant.
Well, because people need to be moved around.
Yes,
and,
uh-huh.
and some people can't, you know.
Mm-hmm. The physical therapy assistants, also activities assistants for the activity director. And then also the transporters, once you get them with the transportation, are assisting with the participants.
So this is a job for people with strong backs, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Because you may be moving people, huh?
Uh-huh. And then also, that's where, if we get to that point, a lot of times, that's what we have Bella Ride for, or ARC, if it's too difficult, particularly for
the extra strong backs.
The extra strong backs, yeah.
Nice. They're all listening today, right? What time do they get your program?
8 o'clock.
Yeah. 337-8874. They have cell phones, right? Everybody's got cell phones.
Yes.
Jeez. So call us up. Talk to Tom. And weigh in with how the programs help you. That would be an interesting... As a matter of fact, Tom, if we do this again,
uh-huh.
it'd be nice to have a couple of clients.
Oh, you know, that would be nice.
And they could speak to their experiences, and that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So are you at capacity? I mean, would more bodies be accepted, or when do you hit your waiting list stage?
Right now, they're going to actually increase the capacity because we're hitting 45 a lot, and that's our capacity. So they're going to be increasing it to 60.
And the facility is big enough to hold it?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
You know, and they're planning to tear down some more walls. So we do have all the space. So that's no problem. We just have to tear down the walls.
Nice. But your Wii machine only holds like a couple people at a time, four players at a time,
uh-huh.
maybe, huh?
Yeah, because that's not the popular thing. That's more like a fat thing.
Well, it's because you haven't bought the bowling game yet.
Oh, okay.
They have a bowling game now.
Uh-huh.
And you could, for seniors, I guess it's like the bee's knees because you can bowl without the physical requirements of bowling.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just kind of act it out. You don't have to have the, 18-pound ball or something.
Uh-huh. Right now, I think they're having fun with their bingo game and with the poker because of, and the blackjack because of they have their little Euro dollars.
Oh, nice. Do they get to buy things in program with that? Or?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So do you use that as a reward system?
Oh, it's more like we just wanted to discourage them from actually, we wanted to give them prizes, and that became the easiest thing with actually just to play around with that, where they're actually losing real money, but they actually wanted to play with pennies.
Yeah, and that was...
No.
Yeah.
So
lots of reasons.
Uh-huh.
So you've got these Euro... If I just show up, do I get Euro dollars, or do I have to, like, be good or something?
No, they're the black market for it.
Oh, nice. Your friends are good, too. But how do you... I mean, because if there's a way to... I mean, if they're just handed out gifted to you, then...
Uh-huh.
Then you can just play with reckless abandon because it doesn't matter how much you lose.
More likely because I can see that they don't really like, they just kind of leave it lying around. There isn't that real sense of like urgency about like the money. It's more like
$40.
It becomes kind of a joke with them. And they don't really like take it serious.
We ran a children's socialization program and we used to, mental health still does. And uh-huh. I was in there for 5-6 years or so. And, yeah, there's a day that comes when you look at the reward cabinet and you realize kids probably aren't working hard for all these 95-cent toys, especially mm-hmm. since they've got like $100 toys at home. So I wonder what's going on here.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the same thing there where, uh-huh. where it's not really, doesn't really motivate people other than the sense of kind of community and fun?
Well, I think what motivates a lot of them actually is the arts and crafts, because that's where you really see the interaction with the participants. So make their necklaces or the drawings, the paintings, and the necklaces, the jewelry that they create themselves, they'll give it to the other participants as gifts.
Nice. You guys ever have like jewelry sales and stuff?
No jewelry sales. But we show them off. So like the ones, whoever they want to display them, we'll display them, because the artwork that's done is very creative.
Yeah. Neat. And this program has enough funding to buy jewelry supplies.
They have a budget, huh?
Yeah.
So we have a very resourceful activities director.
Very cool.
The dollar stores are great.
Also, well,
in the so-so type of way, you know.
And you can make pretty things, but not like gem stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so we had a participant actually who was a very good painter who was in another level, and 90-year-old lady, but very gifted painter.
Wasn't that like Grandma Moses or somebody? I mean, there's 90-year-old paint ladies have painted before. That's not impossible.
Oh, I know it's not impossible, but it's just how she was teaching other people canvas painting.
Nice. So people are encouraged to kind of develop their talents and share those talents.
Yeah, to get to another level.
Nice. Are the successes that are experienced there, do they motivate other people? I mean, do we draw attention to the fact that somebody's getting new skills or going to new levels and share that with a group, and then the group's like, oh, I can do it too?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do, because I mean, there's a gentleman who in the program who when he came to the program was weighed like around 120, 130 pounds more than he does now, and he had a real big issue with his diabetes, congestive heart failure. A young man, he was in his early 50s, and complete turnaround. He's down to 160. No longer has to take his medications for his diabetes.
Wow. There's a success story, huh?
Yeah, and when he does do his workout, he goes exceeds what he's supposed to do, and we just kind of like leave him alone because, you know, it's working for him.
Yeah, and so the other people with diabetes can
see him
and use that as motivation. Yeah, huh?
Exactly.
Did you see that? I mean, this guy started getting stuff under control.
Did
he pull people up behind him?
Oh yes. He got me, and. It's just very impressive the turnaround he's made, because I knew him from several years ago, and the nurse had to, it was a constant thing where she had to work on his feet because of his diabetes.
Yeah, the circulation.
The circulation. And for him to do this turnaround, it's been amazing.
Neat. Very neat. What else do we need to know?
Well, if
I've got somebody who's, I think, may have a medical condition worthy of this program,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't been referred yet by their medical provider or anybody else, what's the easiest avenue for me to explore this further?
Just contact us at the day out in Brawley. And then our phone number is
344-760.
Uh-huh. That's right, 760. I have to change all my cell phone numbers. And then, so it's 760-344-5665.
Nice. Okay, now I didn't have a pencil. And I just, I want to write that down. So I'm getting a pencil right now.
Okay.
I got the pencil. Oh, I don't have any paper. Hang on. Okay, got the paper. Now, slowly. What's that number again?
It's 760-344-5665.
5665. And listed in the yellow pages under Day Out.
Day Out, Not to be confused with Day In.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom, for coming aboard today.
Right.
How was it for you? I know this is your first radio experience. How was it for you?
It was great. I was just missing the coffee.
I typically don't bring any, but I've got throat stuff going on. So
okay.
Enough to keep me lubricated.
Uh-huh.
Well, you go out and get some coffee, and thank you so much. And listeners, if you're heard the show today and you're interested in passing it on to other people, you can do that now by going to the KXO website and clicking on, I think it's on blogs, and then it's on Let's Talk About It. And, you know, Mario's a very diligent person, so in the next week or two, he's going to have this all edited and take out all of our gaffes and Tom's made-up name and get this up online so that people can use this as a resource for the future and whenever they have a need to learn more about a program like Day Out. So there it is. If you want to get it there, go get it. And enjoy your day, enjoy your weekend, and holiday season stuff. It's kind of cold enough to do that now. And watch out for the rain. Enjoy yourselves. We'll be back in... Not next week, huh? Just don't shrug. Shrugging is not working. I think we're going to have best of shows for the next couple weeks here. So if I'm reading my calendar correctly. And if that's the case, join us for the best of shows. And if not, we'll catch you in the new year with more live shows. We've got, you know, what's interesting is we're hooking up some of the people who worked in human services for the longest time, like decades, and they're kind of at that sundown time in their careers. We're going to get them on board to talk about their reminiscences, and I'm not going to give out any names because I don't want to jinx the interviews, but stay tuned for that. I think we've got some of those coming up in January, and those should be really interesting shows. So thanks for joining us. Join us again next week, and take care.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.